Good evening.
This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1256, we present an incredible story by new Life Rattle writer, Bailey Green. Bailey Green was born in Montreal, Quebec, in 1990. She grew up in Saint-Lazare, Quebec, a small town just west of the island of Montreal. Her parents are both of Scottish origin. Her mother was a stay-at-home mom, and her father a sales manager in the packaging industry. Growing up Anglophone in La Belle Provence, Bailey learned to speak French fluently. She had a happy childhood, spending her summers at the family's cottage on Lake Louisa, reading, swimming, going for boat rides, and picking blueberries with her younger brother, Trevor. When she was in her teens, her father unexpectedly lost his job. Her family underwent a huge change as her mother trained to become a yoga teacher to help support the family, and her father started his own photography business. Their strength and love inspired Bailey to chase her dreams. After completing college, where she studied professional theater acting, Bailey was accepted into U of T and now lives in Mississauga, where she continues to study her craft. She's currently pursuing a career as a professional actor, amateur model, passionate writer, and part-time lifeguard. She's also a TV addict, ex-smoker, and a die-hard sci-fi fan. On tonight's program, the first of three featuring the writing of Bailey Green, we bring you an extremely unsettling, brilliantly written account of Rita, a young woman born in Afghanistan in 1990, the trials she and her family faced at the hands of first the Taliban and, after they fled Afghanistan, the people of Turkey. Worst of all were the trials she faced within her own family. Bailey Green presents Rita's story with sharp and exact writing that delivers an excruciating emotional impact. Let's listen now as Bailey Green reads Hetirolar, Memories, tonight on Life Rattle.
Hetirolar, Memories, by Bailey Green. When I first met my co-worker, Rita, I would often stutter when talking to her, as I had never met someone so unaware of their beauty. With her soft Turkish accent, large brown eyes, and kind, gentle spirit, Rita charmed everyone she met. She was 21 and had come to Canada 7 years earlier. I chose to interview Rita because I believed she had an important story to tell. I was born in Afghanistan in 1990. When I was 2 years old, my father was kidnapped by the Taliban. My mother searched for him for 2 months by herself. To this day, we don't know why they took him, but we think it was because my dad was a dentist. Dad was very open-minded. He went to a lot of conferences, and he was a well-known dentist. The Taliban hated people who were educated. I was the youngest of four. My eldest brother, Mohid, was 16, my sister, Ijaz, was 12, and my youngest brother, Ilyas, was 11. Mom couldn't take care of us alone. People kept coming to my mom and threatening to kidnap my sister because they wanted her to marry their son. There were men asking for my brothers so that they could have sex with them. They offered to pay my mom to buy my brothers. That is why we had to leave the country and go to Turkey. Rita and her family traveled to Turkey the only way they could, by foot. They crossed through Pakistan and Iran. Her mother had sold everything to pay for guides to help them illegally cross the borders. At one point in the journey, they had to cross over a mountain. Rita's mother had only enough money to purchase one horse, so the three older children had to walk. Rita rode on the horse with her mother. Her mother was so exhausted that Rita slipped from her grasp. She tumbled into snow that reached up to her chest. She stood calling for her mother and struggling to catch up as her mother yelled at her children to walk faster. Rita was 3. She didn't recall the fear, only her amazement at witnessing the mounds of snow. After reaching Turkey, they were unable to settle down for several months. They had no place to stay, no money, and at that time, Turkey had no welfare system. Rita's mother was considered an outcast to the Turkish people because she had 4 children and no husband. Despite explaining that her husband was likely dead, she was still called a whore. The eldest brother, Mohid, found work to help support the family. Life was difficult. Rita was happiest in summer, when her entire family in Afghanistan traveled to Turkey and visited them. We used to picnic every weekend when they were there, and we went to beaches to swim and relax. They would rent a big yellow bus for the whole family, altogether at least 50 people. Everyone in the bus had a guitar or an instrument, and everyone would clap and dance. That was the best part of my life. I had so much fun. Sometimes we went on road trips. They would stop the bus in the middle of the road, open their food, and barbecue right there on the road with everyone singing, dancing, and clapping. That I will never forget. Rita would struggle to find such small glimpses of happiness in the years to come. When she was 7, Mohid, the oldest brother, got engaged to their cousin who lived in Austria. Like most marriages in her culture, it had been arranged by family. The engagement seemed to have changed her brother. He began coming home drunk every day, wailing and moaning that he was in love and that he couldn't stand being so far away from his fiancée. Every day, Rita would wait in front of their apartment building for her beloved brother to come home. One evening, Mohid stumbled into her sight, extremely intoxicated. Rita ran towards him. He grabbed a can of gasoline, poured it over his head, and set himself on fire. Rita stood there, frozen and helpless, as her brother crackled, burned, and screamed. She did not speak for 2 days afterward. Mohid survived and moved to Austria to marry his fiancée. Her sister, Ijaz, married and moved away to live with her husband on the same day Mohid left. Rita's mother sank deeper into depression. Rita watched her weep, but her own eyes remained dry. Ilyas was next in line to be married. Without his knowledge, a cousin from Austria had fallen madly in love with him. She ran away from her home and crossed several countries to reach him in Turkey. When her father found out what she had done, he followed her. The girl arrived in the middle of the night. The family did not know what to do with her, other than to force her to stay and wait for her father. The next day, Rita watched her uncle and 3 other men stand around the 14-year-old girl and beat her mercilessly for dishonoring the family. Tears streamed down Rita's face as she tried to block out the girl's shrieks from her ears. Ilyas was forced to marry her, otherwise she would have been ostracized for having brought such shame to the family. He wept for days. Rita was 11. Rita would play in the street in front of her house with the neighborhood children. There was a boy who she loathed, but her friends teased Rita by saying that he liked her. They convinced her to write a fake love letter to him, and they all giggled as she wrote it. She never gave it to the boy. Rita left the letter in her school bag and forgot about it. My brother found the letter. In the middle of the night, he went through my backpack. He took out the letter and read it and said, "What the fuck is this?" He grabbed me by the skin on my back while I slept, lifted me up, and slammed me into the floor. He was yelling, "What the fuck are you doing?" I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. I didn't even think of the letter. To me, it was nothing. He messed me up. I was so dizzy. He beat me so bad. He shouted and shouted. I tried to tell him it was nothing, but I couldn't speak. He wouldn't stop beating me. My mom stood and watched because she thought I did something stupid. He didn't let me go to school for a week. He didn't let me look outside the window for a week. My mom wouldn't speak to me. She called me a whore. I was 11 years old. How can you call me a whore? The next day, my brother beat the kid I wrote about in the letter. Poor kid had no idea why. Ilyas left within the year, leaving Rita alone with her strict, increasingly paranoid mother. Rita had her first crush when she turned 13. When her mother found out, she told everyone in their family. She called Rita a slut and stopped speaking to her, pretending she did not exist. Rita's mother insisted on dropping her off in the mornings and picking her up in the afternoons as though she were a small child. Rita was not allowed to go on school trips or outings. Her life became a prison. Rita could not take it anymore. "This is it. I can't do this anymore," she told her mother, who refused to listen. One day, Rita swallowed as many pills as she could find and lay down and waited for the end. Her mother ignored her daughter's strange symptoms until later that night when she realized that Rita had not woken up all day. She took Rita to the hospital, where her stomach was pumped and her life saved. Her mother screamed at Rita for trying to kill herself. Rita wished she had died. She lived to experience much worse. It would not be the first time Rita would try and escape the cage she was trapped in. "I don't know why. I just didn't want to live. I don't know if anyone else would have been able to deal with the things I have lived through. I have never seen anyone having these problems in life but me."
That was Hattiralar, Memories, written and read by Bailey Green, a fine new writer who we will hear more from next week when we feature three stories from her work series. That concludes Life Rattle number 1256. My name is Laurie Callis. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune in next Thursday night to hear more new stories written and read by Bailey Green.